we were to write down all the things that we're worried, anxious, concerned about, our list would probably go from the sanctuary here right on the main aisle, back through the door, and probably end up out in Cascades Parkway. And just think about all the things we're worried about. Parents worry about their children. People worry about their health, about the health of others. You can think farmers always are worrying about the weather or their livestock. There's financial worries, worries about relationships, worries about so many different things. From time to time, we all are worried. We all feel frightened like the disciples in the boat. And like them, we cry out in fear. But just as in today's gospel, Jesus comes to us in some way, and usually through the help of those near to us, and he says, "Courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And how often have we heard someone say, "If it wasn't for so-and-so helping me, I would have never made it through that time." Therefore, when we're worried, let us turn to Jesus and continue to trust him. The gospel today is about faith and about focus. It teaches that although storms and struggles inevitably arise, we have a choice as to whether we focus on them or to focus on Jesus. And the message is clear. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. And we can see this in three stages of the gospel. Perceived distance, produced distress, and a point of decision. The gospel starts out telling us how Jesus drew back from the disciples, sent them on their way to cross the lake ahead of him, intending to rejoin them later. That during that crossing, they encountered the storm. And he goes, and meanwhile, though, he's up on the mountain praying by himself, alone, to his heavenly Father. That we encounter the mystery of God apparently hiding his face. That Jesus, in drawing back from his disciples, exhibits the mysterious truth that God sometimes seems to hide his face. But does God actually hide his face? To us, it seems that he does. But has he actually done so in such a way that he is forgotten of us? Note that in today's gospel, Jesus is not away on some kind of vacation. Rather, he is praying. In doing so, he's in communion with his Father. And also with his disciples. He knows that he needs to leave that mountaintop to go help them. That they're in trouble in that storm. And so he starts to make his way toward them in stages. That first they cannot see him, but he sees and knows them. That later, even when his disciples see him, they don't realize that it is he. They think it's a ghost or for someone or something that means to harm them. And so it is with us too. That often we conclude that God has hidden his face from us. That he's not mindful of the troubles we face. That he seems distant, perhaps even unconcerned and surely not visible to us. But it's not always that God has simply hidden his face from us. It's often simply that we cannot see him for any number of reasons. Sometimes it's simply that our minds are weak, easily distracted. Sometimes it's because of our flesh that demands to see everything physically, refusing to accept the reality of the spiritual scene. That sometimes it's because we insist on seeing, on understanding only in ways that are acceptable and pleasing to us, acting as if God could not possibly speak or do something in some other way. That God is there, though. That he's not likely hiding, but we struggle to see him for these and even other reasons that we perhaps can think of. And so if God is hiding, it's usually in plain sight. It's right before us, even though we can't see him. That in the end, where can we run from God? Where could we possibly go that he is not already there? God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. That he knows what is going on in our lives. Can anyone hide in the secret places so I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? That God permits us to experience his apparent distance. And this is clearly attested to in scriptures. This hiddenness is mysterious. Because although God seems hidden, he is in fact more present to us than we are to our very selves. That what God offers us in this gospel is a faith that grows to understand this. To see God always. A faith that permits us to be in a living, conscious contact with God at every moment of our lives. This is the normal Christian life that Christ died to give us. If we are open to receive it, our faith will grow. And as our faith grows, so does our ability to experience God's presence in our lives, beyond what our senses may or may not perceive. That yes, as our faith grows, even in the midst of storms, we can know that God is near and draw strength and courage from that fact. That added to this experience of distance from the Lord is the distress of the storm itself. And the gospel says, meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. That to the degree that we don't see God, we don't see our Lord, we will be anxious about many things. Then the perceived absence of God, fears increase, shadows grow longer. Then, in this sense, many of our distresses are produced by our lack of faith, our lack of awareness of God's abiding presence. And so an image we can use to think of this is the red sanctuary lamp here in our church that signals the presence of our Lord. That near that sanctuary lamp, near that light, we can bask in its glow, enjoy its comforting worth. But as we walk away from it, shadows grow longer. Darkness can envelop us. And so it is for us who lose a sense of God's presence or willfully refuse to acknowledge it. The shadows lengthen. The darkness envelops us. And the storms become more terrifying. This is why it's so important for us to accept the normal Christian life of being in living, conscious contact with God. Knowing God doesn't mean that there will be no storms, but it does mean that we can face them with courage and trust. That this only comes as we grow in faith and experience of God's presence. The gospel then has that crucial point of drama. That during the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They go and say, "It's a ghost." And they cry out in fear. And at once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." That Jesus goes and presents the disciples, his apostles, with a choice. Either focus on the storm or focus on him. That he's not just telling them not to be afraid. He's saying, "It is I. Do not be afraid." If they will focus on him, they will not be afraid. They will come to experience his abiding presence. Their fears will dissipate. And same for us. That if we'll accept the normal Christian life and come more deeply and constantly experience God's presence, our fears will dissipate. It is not that there will be no storms. Rather, those storms will not overwhelm us in fear. And so we also have this choice to make. Do we focus on the storms or do we focus on our Lord? The result that we will either live in increasing fear or that we will grow in confidence and trust. That there's that old saying, what you feed grows. If we feed our fears and negativity, they will grow. If we feed our faith and trust, they will grow. And so what will it be? What will we focus on? What will we feed? To pray for the gift to focus increasingly on our Lord. To pray for the gift to feed our faith, starving our negativity and storm-focused fears. And we can ask ourselves, was Jesus ever afraid? Was Jesus ever worried? Yes, he was. And what did he do when he had those worries? How did he cope with them? Then on two occasions in the gospel, we see Jesus worried. We see him having some kind of fear. And on each of those two occasions, he prayed to his Father. And in prayer, he got strength to continue and face the difficult situation. In the Gethsemane, in that garden, the night before his crucifixion, he prayed to his Father to let the cup, to let his passion pass him by. And Jesus' prayer was answered because he got the strength to face his passion. Not my will, but yours be done. On another occasion, again thinking about his passion, Jesus went and said, "Now my soul is troubled." Imagine that. Jesus saying, "Now my soul is troubled." Perhaps it's a bit of shock, but on this occasion, Jesus also prayed to his Father and recovered his strength during prayer. That when troubles, when worries come our way, our best approach is to approach Jesus, to pray. And we will get that strength to continue. And Jesus will send help to us in some other person. That whatever happens, continue to trust in our Lord. He will provide everything we need. That when troubles come our way, often we forget that God is still with us. It's strange, really, but it's what happens to so many people when they get upset. They think that God's gone on vacation. But that is not so. God is still with us. We cannot always rely on our feelings. We can rely on them still less when something is bothering us. The truth is that God is with us always, whether we feel his presence or not. Do not ever forget that Jesus and Mary are always with us, no matter what our feelings tell us. That Jesus and Mary will never abandon us. Remember when Jesus was worried, he prayed and received strength from his Father to face his passion. Yes, we have a decision to make. Will we focus on the storm or will we focus on Jesus? We have to keep our eyes on the prize. And St. Paul tells us, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That we need to keep our eyes on the prize, to hold on. That way, at the end of our lives, we can say, as St. Paul said, I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. Now all that awaits me is the crown of glory.